Blind Justice, the true story of the death of Jennifer Tanner, written by Robin Bowles and read by Victoria Howell. On a bright day in mid-August, I set off for Mansfield, treating the trip as an adventure as much as a serious exercise. If Jenny's parents don't like me, there probably won't even be a book. I travel from Melbourne through the northeastern Victorian township of Beechworth and stay there overnight with some nursing friends who work in the area near where Jenny lived. Through them, I initiate some discreet inquiries to find out if Jennifer Ruth Blake, or Tanner, has ever been treated in a psychiatric unit or for a breakdown. Heading out of Beechworth, I stop to buy flowers for Jenny's mother. After protracted indecision, I finally settle on some long-stemmed white rosebuds. The patient florist is already arranging them when I stop her. "These are for someone whose daughter has died. I hope the colour will be okay." I'm very nervous that Kath will say no to the book, and a bit worried about how I'll go about conducting this critical interview, dredging up her old pain, without sounding too eager for her approval. But the roses are the best flowers in the shop, so the florist continues wrapping. "The poor woman," offers the florist along with the bunch. "I lost my son in a car accident a few years ago. You never get over it. When did it happen?" "Well, actually, it was 12 years ago. She was Jennifer Tanner, who was supposed to have committed suicide in Bonny Doon." "Oh, that poor girl," says the florist. She leans over the counter so her grandsons playing on the floor can't hear. "You know, she deserved better. They never did investigate that case properly. How is the mother anyway?" I haven't expected such an informed response from someone in a town 150 kilometres from Bonny Doon, and I'm not yet in a position to reply. Nonplussed, I back out of the shop. Kath and Les Blake live on the other side of Mansfield, about 30 kilometres from Bonny Doon. I want to meet with Kath first to settle any doubts she might have and get the go-ahead from her before setting out on my quest in earnest. From Mansfield, I take the road leading to the looming mountain range on the horizon, the High Country, made famous by the man from Snowy River. Several years ago, I had one of the best adventures of my life in this area, bringing a mob of cattle down from the autumn-chilled High Country on a 10-day trail ride. We rode up jagged slopes, over fallen trees, down breathtaking precipices, and through 21 river crossings in 10 days. We camped in bush huts, beside rivers or overlooking purple valleys, and told tall tales around the campfire. We were at eye level with the surrounding mountaintops. Big, smelly, sweaty mountain cattle emerged from their hiding places and turned their shaggy heads downwards to the milder plains below to shelter from the ravages of a High Country winter. I arrived in Merrijig with all my fingernails ruined, tired, sore, filthy and elated.